but be grateful to the King of Kings. I've always said, I really personally, it doesn't matter what circumstance you find yourself in this world this morning. The end of our story when we are in Jesus Christ is joy and everlasting peace. And let's not kid ourselves. You see the myth that the Christian walk somehow. In fact, there's a whole generation of Christian, a whole
this one will not listen. The other one too will not listen.
Teaching us that this walk is somehow supposed to be smooth. Right? One too many books written about methods and strategies to make it a little smoother. But those of us who are very sincere in our walk with Christ know if you're going to walk this walk the right way, it does not exempt you from many troubles. I think Job said it right. Said, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. And I'm always reminded of, you know, I'm from Kwara State in Nigeria. It's somewhat savanna. It's not really north for those of you who call us north. We're not north. We're Yorubas. Just so we settle that. We're not ish. There's no ish there. There's no malam in Adewale. But if there were, glory be to God. But there's none. Then we're purely, you should please step away from Lagos and Ibadan and the rest of Nigeria. Right. And you know, we're somewhat savannah. In the Harmattan season, some bush catches fire. And I remember the first time I read that Job passage.
Who is this person? Leave me alone now.
I knew instinctively what he meant.
I don't want to talk to you.
Instinctively. Because if you've ever seen it, maybe Californians may know a little bit. Because Kwara is somehow like California. A little more pristine. But you see this savannah Harmattan bush burn, and you see the sparks. It's real. And you see the sparks flying up. The man is naturally born to trouble, as naturally as the sparks fly upwards. You have tried to dodge it with prayers. Has it worked? Looks like the more you pray, the more trouble. We have tried to dodge it with confessions. They taught us how many times we should confess it a day. It hasn't worked. But through it all, we've always been equipped to be more than conquerors through Christ. And we're here. We're here. And by the grace of God, we'll be sustained until Jesus comes and he will wipe away tears from every face. And the full consolation of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with us. I just encourage us this morning to continue to be faithful to Jesus. It's not an easy... Who knows the song? We're taking to Jesus. It's not an easy way. Oh, what's the lyric? Ta ta da ta da ta da. Ta la 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 la. Yeah, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. Where are the SUs there? Grab me. Okay. You don't know it. It's not an easy road. Sister Wora, do you know it? Ah! Why are you people sleeping through the 80s? It's not for Kwara State. It's a real song. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Folake. And for that, we're not going to go on until we sing it. We're going to learn a Kwara song. To heavenly. Thank you. Do you know how to sing it? Please minister and sing it. We're not going to move on until we learn it. That means service is extended for another 5 minutes for charging the song of being from Kwara. I'd like us to listen to the lyrics of the song.
It's not an easy road. We are traveling to heaven for many other sons on the way. It's not an easy road, but the Savior is with us. His presence gives us joy every day. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, It's not an easy road, but Jesus walked beside me and brightened the journey and lightened every heavy load. It's not an easy road. There are trials and troubles and many other dangers we meet. But Jesus guides and keeps us, so nothing can harm us and smooths the rugged path for our feet. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Jesus walked beside me and brightened the journey and lightened every heavy load. Though I am orphan's footstool and weary from travel, though I am often bowed down with care, a better day is coming when home in the glory we'll meet in perfect peace over there. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Jesus walked beside me and brightened the journey and lightened every heavy load.
No shortcuts. No shortcuts. The Bible says that very narrow is the way. Christ said it. I like to say Christ says, because he's the one who's walked the road on this side and on that side completely. And we know the end result. He said the road is narrow and the gate is straight, not straight. 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 Said the gate is kind of crooked. The way is narrow that leads to eternal life. And few people find it. He told us. And the sobering thing was that the Lord was telling us in a time when none of us knew about the way. He was preempting generations to come. He knew that some people would come to advertise a better way. There was a time in these United States that there were no highways. You know that? I think it was in 1966 that Congress passed the something Highway Act. And they started building the I-95, I-80-something, I-something, I. Because the price of gas had gone up and they were looking for a way to circumvent cities and traffic lights and everything when you're traveling. So anything that could, of course, broaden the infrastructure and help communication, transportation, Congress wanted to do it. Congress is with sense, wanted to do it. But before, if you were traveling from Florida to Maine, it wasn't an easy way. You know the Route 1, where Costco is? Every city, every state you go to, you find a Route 1. That was the only highway from north to south in the US. And that means at every traffic light, you would stop. You'll be burning gas. But since those highways came, you can just pass and go to where, of course, now there's traffic. It's not an easy way. There's no highway to heaven. It's always a narrow way. And it's so sweet to hear the words of Jesus. And in the last few months, we have been trying to focus on the things that Jesus began to do and began to teach. And we've touched on his teachings on many, many topics. And I thought this was necessary because I prefer it to noise. It's the word cacophony. It's high-level noise. There's a lot of noise out there. There are so many ways to twist doctrine here and there. And before we know it, we're actually accommodating. We're imposing our preferences on Christ. So it's always nice when we take a pause and listen to the shepherd himself. And we begin to learn, as the disciples themselves did, from the feet of Jesus. And as we began to look through Luke, it was obvious that Christ had a lot to say about many things that we no longer talk about. It's always wonderful to see things from the perspective of Jesus Christ himself. Some of us are so godly, we no longer know Jesus. Our theology is so God-centered that we no longer know that there's a God revealed as man called Emmanuel, God with us, to walk with us, to speak with us, to eat in our homes, to speak our language, to break things down. They call him the Son of Man. He relates. So it's nice that we as Christians begin to learn afresh. The things we already know, I think a writer of the Bible said, I'm not speaking to you things that you do already. I'm just bringing into your remembrance those things that Christ himself began to teach. And I don't know, you agree with me that there's no better voice to hear today than the voice of the Son of God himself. So when anybody asks me, where do I need to start reading the Bible? I don't say Genesis. Because it will take them a long time and a lot of understanding to get to Jesus from Genesis. I say, start from the red letter words. I say, the assignment of a born-again Christian is to be familiar to all things, with all things whatsoever Jesus himself has spoken to us. Actually, that was his commandment to his disciples. Go and teach them all things whatsoever I have taught you. So today we touch on yet another thing. We're just browsing and learning about Jesus. Last week we talked about a man, Lazarus, and the rich man, his patron. And the Lord revealed a few things about Lazarus and the patron. We were reminded about heaven and hell. We were remembered about the destination of a rich man who is not rich towards God. We were reminded that Christianity is not just a race about making heaven. There's also the big risk of making hell. We are reminded that after death, there's no do-over. The story of Lazarus, we were reminded that things for a Christian are never the way they seem. So do not despise yourself. If today you are looked down upon, you are despised for the sake of Jesus Christ, we are remembered about the end of such. The story of Lazarus was the story of one of the most despised Christians in the annals of the Bible. He was no ordinary beggar. He was a beggar with sores. You don't come across that many. If you say blessing, he was the kind of Christian that on earth they will say, you are not blessed. The kind of Christians that people will say, this your God, if this is what your God does to you, then I don't want a part of him. The kind of Christians we will not want our daughters to marry. I'm not sure he went to school. He was that poor. But he was the most, let me retract. In that compound, every day he was picking food from the trash. He was more blessed than everybody in the big house. Yet nobody knew it. And Christ revealed in the parable, it's a story. The Lord revealed the end of Lazarus and the end of the owner of the big house to inspire us to aspire to spiritual things, not for instant gratifications and the things of now, the fames of the world. I think there's a scripture that says, it does not yet appear what we shall be. I think it's 1 John chapter 3, right? It does not, that always strikes me. When you want to suddenly begin to grasp for things of the earth, you remember the elder John said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But this thing we know, that when Jesus appears, so we will be like him or thereabout. Our portion is with Jesus. Our portion is the better portion. But the question is, are we going to be able to hold on? Because like we said earlier today, if just we live by faith. That's the difficult part. Are we going to continue to the salvation of our souls? So the Bible is replete with these stories, prophetic stories that I think Paul said that we should pay attention, we should take heed. It will do us good to pay attention to them. The things, Hebrews writer, the things that were once spoken to us by the prophets and then reiterated by the Lord and by his apostles. He said it will do us good to pay attention to these things. All the words, the simple, simple teachings by Jesus, the world has forgotten them, brethren. Who cares for this? How does the Sermon on the Mount relate to us in our regular daily work? Does that help you to succeed in your corporate life? How does it relate? Most of what Jesus has to do does not help you to wake up in the morning and go to Holy Cross. You don't go to Holy Cross anymore. You still go there. Is it Holy Cross? I thought you changed. We must make the conscious choice to stand by Jesus and make sure we apply this non-obvious word to our lives so that when Jesus comes, we will not have empty hands before him. We cannot let life go day by day and we're not laying hold of the eternal life that Christ has brought. The psalmist, one of the smartest, most popular Christians ever, he said, first he said, thy word I've hidden in my heart, I may not sin against you. He said, your word, Lord, it is the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. And of course, you children that are born in electricity age, you cannot understand that. You cannot. Even all these folks born in Lagos cannot understand that. The headlight of a car is the light to their path. But if you've ever visited the village and you have had to go from your grandmother's house to an uncle's house, and for some reason it always got dark after 6:30 or something, and your grandmother's cooking, you're having so much fun, but you still need to go to your uncle's because that's where you're staying. And you know there's no highway in the village. And they put a cousin next to you with, do you even know? Do you people, who is? Hey, do you know what a lamp is? I don't mean the bedside lamp. And you've ever had to carry that thing because on your left is bush, on your right is bush. And there's just a narrow path. And the only reason the path is not bush is because people have been walking on it. Huh? And snakes. Some of you have never seen live snake. Now there's no poisonous snake in America again. I think they eradicated poisonous snake. Real snakes. There are. Okay, that's not. So watch out if you have a shed. There might still be. You will know what it means to need a lamp at your feet and a light on your path. And the word of God is. I don't want to prolong the sermon. Let's see what Jesus taught us about Zacchaeus and what we can learn from it. 19th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke said to us, Luke, by the way, was a learned physician, learned person, a documentarian, wrote fantastic letters. I want us to contextualize this because, you know, we holy nice scriptures. We make it so holy, it's no longer acceptable to us. It's not meant to be like that. It's supposed to be related. These relatable letters. These are letters. Luke had no idea that you and I would be reading this. He just sat and wrote a letter to one person. It was the Holy Spirit that ordained it being what we now call the book. He did not write it as the book of Luke. He only wrote a letter. He said, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, in Jericho was a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, and he was what? Everything that the Holy Spirit writes is deliberate. And if you've noticed, one thing we've been doing is to be very deliberate about every line. I want you to think about the persona of this man. He was in the town of Jericho. That was his town. His name was Zacchaeus. So that means Luke did his research. Luke may not have been here, but when you can specify the name and the town, that is someone who knew what they were writing about. He probably investigated the story very well. Now, this man was not a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. And he says something curious, which we might think, why is it relevant? Why would Luke say, and he was rich? It's enough to say there was a tax collector in the town of Jericho. And this tax collector, as we read, climbed a tree and met Jesus and was born again. No. Let us pull ourselves back and assess and put our minds, ourselves in the minds of the writer. Let's begin to discern his intent, if not the writer, but at least the intent of the Holy Spirit who caused this to be documented. He pointed out to us, and we cannot move on, that this man caught until we get this, that this man was no ordinary tax collector, which in of itself, because we know that Levi was also a tax collector, we're familiar. But he said this man was a special kind of tax collector. He was the chief of them all. And as you know, I don't know whether this part of the world, I think I met the IRS commissioner. It looked like just a regular guy. But in the normal parts of the world, tax collectors are rich. They cut deals. I don't know your part of the world, but my part of the world, I've never met a poor, well, I've never met a lot of them. This guy was the IRS, maybe director or something for the area of Jericho. And he was rich. So he wanted us to know the kind of person that Zacchaeus was. He had cars, he had fame, he had connection. People wanted to see him. There are businessmen who needed to bring in their containers. They will see the tax collector. The politicians will patronize him. His name will be known. He will go to their parties. He was known in Jericho. He was a renowned chap. Jesus has a letter for everybody to read. Last week, he wrote about a beggar that had nothing. Now he's writing about a tax collector. And he was rich. He was the kind of person that would appear in a party and they would walk him right to the front. There's always a place of honor for him. Zacchaeus. Let's continue to read. And this tax collector, verse 3, he really wanted to see who Jesus was, but he could not because number one, there was a crowd. But I think we have to underline something before we move on. Although this man was rich, he had everything. He had the fame. He had everything about him. But see something. Deep within him, he wanted to know who Jesus was. That is what sets one tax collector apart from another tax collector. Some tax collectors want nothing to do with Jesus because what Jesus has to say to them will block the tax collectivity. Because what Jesus normally will have to say, they're afraid it will transform their life. What Jesus wants to teach, you're afraid it's going to rapidly change who you are. Truth is a searing light. You cannot hide from it. You can deceive others. You cannot deceive yourself. I've been there. I know how long I resisted truth before it chased after me, knocked me down. And I had to say, Lord, this is the truth. This is just not acceptable to you. So he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. Well, he is sitting here saying, I'm not a tax collector, so what has all of this got to do with me? Okay, we can relate a bit. Deep within you as you sit now, no matter who or what you are, how much do you want to see Jesus? What sets one Christian apart from the other is desire. You will find me if you seek me. After you have sought me with the whole of your heart. Grace is available to everybody. What sets one apart His desire. May the Lord give us the desire to see more and more and more of Jesus. A.W. Tozer said something, the 21st century prophet, they called him. He said, the difference between contemporary Christians and the Christians of old is this. He said, the Christians of old and contemporary Christians, they seek Jesus and find Jesus. The contemporary Christians seek Jesus, find Jesus, and seek no more. But Christians of old, they seek Jesus, they find Jesus, and they continue to seek. There's no end to seeking God. Because it's like a vast ocean, there's always something new for you. In fact, our entire life is supposed to be preoccupied with seeking Jesus. So Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. That instantly set him apart from other tax collectors who were rich. But he had a problem. There was a crowd. He had another problem. He was shot. Who can relate? Viola, you can't relate. Okay. Okay. You know, I know there are certain places in our house that some people can't reach. Sorry. I can't relate. But he was shot. You can relate. I just didn't want to mention your name because then I will get another text from you. He was shot and there were impediments. There was a crowd. But brothers and sisters, don't miss this. Doesn't that tell you something? Here was a rich man, a chief tax collector who could not reach Jesus. What does that tell you? Your money cannot give you access to salvation. Your influence cannot give you access to salvation. All of these things that are lauded cannot give you access to Jesus Christ. It can give you access to other things. If he could, by the car, understand, let me tell you something that I heard. I've never been there that way before. I heard that in the when you're applying for visa from Nigeria to the American embassy, that there are people, because you have to wake up in the morning and line up. You know, you need access, right? I heard that there are people who have made a profession, a job, of waking up in the morning and lining up, just space fillers. And then people who have money will come. In fact, if you're a rich man, you can just tell your driver, go early in the morning and line up for me. So the big man will get there and just slot in. And the poor guy who left his wife in K2 early in the morning, we step out. So your connection can give you access even to embassies that are secured. Or if you know someone in there. If this man could pay to have Jesus come to his, and today pastors are paid to go to homes of rich people, but not pastors like Jesus. He does not consider the person of, and you should know why he does not consider the person of every man. Because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his royalty enthroned, his majesty enthroned forevermore. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He made all things bright and beautiful, all creatures. We used to sing that in staff school. All things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. He made the birds, bones he made that sing. He made the wing colors. He made the knee wings. What's the second stanza? Eyes to see them and we might tell how. All things well. All things bright and beautiful, all things ugly. He's not impressed. They are all a great artist, man. To God, what we call ugly is a panorama. It's, I can't remember the word. You know, art, abstract, an abstraction. It's beautiful. What we call ugly is part of his majesty. So he's not really impressed. He's impressed by the things of the heart. So this man could not buy access to Jesus Christ. And what's another thing? That is about the rich man, Zacchaeus. How about the crowd? Here is a man that ordinarily When his chariots appear in the street, the crowd will clear for him. But when the crowd was before the majesty of Jesus, people pressing in, they no longer saw the majesty of the chariot. They did not make a way for Zacchaeus the rich man. Everybody was pressing in. What was more important here was that they laid hold on Jesus. For people who are struggling for salvation, they are not looking to you. They are not looking to the right. They are not looking to the left. They are saying, if only I could lay hold on the hem of his garment, your money will not buy you access to Jesus. Our positions cannot buy us. There's no connection to heaven except Jesus. Zacchaeus. And I don't think Luke wrote this thing. I think it was deliberate. And he was rich. And the crowd was many. And he was a short man. He had heavy constraints. So what did this rich man, imagine the director of revenue in the IRS. Verse 4. He ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. It's easy to read this story. Brothers and sisters, it's not easy to do this story. Be Zacchaeus. What would have made a distinguished, honorable man known in town? You made appointments to see him. What is it that will make this man run and climb a tree except Jesus? I have a question for you. How far have you gone to get the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Some people, Christians in our days, unless the service is switched to a time when it's convenient for you, you go, man, it's not convenient, Joe. Service must be arranged around our convenience. Why Zacchaeus was climbing a sycamore tree, and we're going to the same heaven. Oh, sorry, I forgot to launder my clothes. Zacchaeus was putting rich clothes on tree back to climb and see Jesus. But because you have a bad air day, you are not going to church. And we're going to the same heaven. No, I don't let me say go to church. You're not, your heart is not panting after the Lord. Attitude matters. Attitude matters. This man had the right attitude. This man had the attitude that Jesus, anybody who will see the fullness of Jesus, no matter their status in life, needs to have. Because Christ is looking at the heart. He knows what is there. He knows whether you are seeking him or not. And anybody that seeks him will find him. So the rich, elegant, short man, distinguished gentleman, ran ahead and climbed a tree to see Jesus. Are you tired? Think about Zacchaeus. Are you tired? Think about what this man had to do to get the attention of Jesus. He wasn't even going to speak to Jesus. He just wanted to see him and hear him. And I suspect he really wasn't even hoping to hear from Jesus, because the Bible says here that he went to that tree because he knew Jesus would pass by. He just wanted a glimpse. The chief director of IRS had turned to paparazzi for Jesus. Whereas some contemporary Christians think they're so important, the heavens will make special provision for them. No, everybody must humble themselves as a little child. If not, they will not see the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom we're talking about is more than your personal magisteria. David knew this. It icks me when we're too cute to dance before the Lord. It's only in church that some of us are gentle when we're dancing. David, the king of Israel. The Bible taught us, when he taught about the majesty of his king. You know, David does not do praise and worship. David praises and worships. Abi, that's the correct text. Most of us do praise and worship. Yeah, let's do praise and worship. You don't do praise and worship as Christian. You praise and you worship. You don't go to service. We are the service. You don't go to church. We are the church. Language has been. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. He got more than he wanted. And you know what? Again, there was a crowd there. But you know whose voice? You know, crowds make a noise. There were lots of words in the ears of the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. Oh, let me see him. Oh, he's tall. Is he tall? Does he have long hair? Oh, yeah, please move. Why are you stepping on my feet? All of that was going on. But our Lord Jesus Christ, as always, was listening to the conversation in hearts. He had one voice saying, oh, if only I could see him. If only I could see him. Oh, let me run to that tree. Ah, the people here are too tall. I can't see him here. Oh, I'm going to climb that tree. Then Satan will say, you, a whole director of the IRS. How will you climb? Shut up. I have to see Jesus. I need to see Jesus. Come on. How can you do that? See, do you see any of your mates here? The ordinary carpenter man. You are listening to the carpenter man. You, because of him, you say, Satan, shut up. I must see Jesus. That was the single conversation. And hearts like that, that Christ. The Lord doesn't look at what we say. He's looking at what is in us and what we're saying within us. Some of us, this moment, are saying, just let this service be over. I can't wait for the match to start at 3 p.m. The Golden State Warriors. I'll watch the match, buddy. The Golden State Warriors. Some of us are saying, oh, my goodness. I need this walk tomorrow. Jesus is hearing. He's hearing that conversation going on in your mind as you speak. And we wonder why some prayers are not answered. Because we hear what people say. Christ is listening to what people are thinking. Sister Kike, am I wrong to deduct that from here? Because this scripture say that Zacchaeus called to Jesus. Then how did Jesus know that Zacchaeus wanted to see him? Eh? You are no longer helping me like before. There must have been a conversation in his heart that God heard, right? A prayer. Make haste, come down. How sweet that Jesus has lunch with each one of us this afternoon. Who would you like to have lunch with? If we were to choose one personality to go home with you from church, in the whole of the history of mankind, who would you rather have? You have one shot, because there are many people that should share his lunchtime, but you have one shot. I think this man got the best. But what is useful for us this afternoon is, how did he get the best? I want us to learn from his attitude. This is the way to approach the Father. You can't approach the Father with arrogance, with assumptions, and hope that you'll be heard. The currency they spend in heaven is different from the one on earth. The currency in heaven is the currency of humility. The currency on earth is the currency of assertion, gra-gra, you know? I don't even know how to describe it. You all know it. We spend it once in a while. All of us are guilty of it. Today, I must stay. It's not just lunch. Christ was going to stay overnight. The Lord was going to use his living room and use his bedroom and leave plenty of blessings behind. I dare say that Zacchaeus, if he had any sick people in his home, he would have gotten more than his salary could purchase for him. I don't believe Jesus would have left his home if his child was sick without healing the child. All because the man climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus. The Lord will meet us halfway all of the time. We have a Yoruba proverb that says, it is the child that lifts his hand. Mommy, if you have 5 children around the house, they're already tired taking care of them. Which one of them will you carry? Isn't it a child? Come on, mommy. Yes. Let's lift our hand to Jesus to lift us up. Let's not just wait for something to happen. Let's climb a little sycamore. Do some work. So he made haste. He came down and received the Lord joyfully. But of course, while the elect are receiving their blessings, the scorners will be scorning. So of course there were scorners, and Luke recorded it. He said, but when they, I wonder why this day, when my wife says they said, I say, who are they? All this day that are saying, who are they? they said, then she will have to clarify that my boss at work said, okay. But they is nobody. But this particular day are the scorners. They're always there, right? When they saw it, and they all complained, saying, he has gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner. They always have something to say. They had accused him, generally, of being stupid enough to climb a tree. Now he got one with what he wanted. They're accusing the Lord Jesus Christ of, don't you know that these people, this is a tax collector too sinful to have food in his house? You must not be a holy man because you are feasting with people that we don't think that you are too, we think you are too holy to eat with some people. Thank God, God is not like us. We judge people by their external. That's all we see. We don't see what God is working in their hearts. This teaches us, please don't judge anybody. When Jesus is working on someone, you that you think you know him, by the time they overtake you in Jesus, you still be complaining. This man was tapping into his salvation using the great Pentecostal language. While they were looking at him, they were looking at his job. They complained. Why do you care what people are saying about you, brothers and sisters? You know where you're coming from, and you know where God is taking you. I pray that the world will never cease to have something negative to say about you. The moment the world is pleased with you, you are doing something wrong. The Lord said it. Jesus said it. He said, they're always complaining about me. He was telling his disciples. So don't be surprised that they complain about you. He said, look, let me tell you something. So, because I'm going now, and you people will start complaining. I will start hearing prayers. This is too hard. Hey, oh my Lord, I've never seen this before. This life is too hard. He said, look, they called me Beelzebub. So what have they called you that is new? When Christ was alive, they said he was demon-possessed. I pray that the world will never be comfortable with you. Darkness is never comfortable with light. You are a terror everywhere you go. So they're going, now they couldn't stop Zacchaeus. They turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. They should have known better, right? After all these attempts. Say, how? Actually, I don't think they were saying this because of Christ. They were saying this so that other people around will be discouraged. That see this person that you think is holy. If he was holy, he wouldn't be eating with IRS employees. Everybody knows IRS people collect bribe, or Nigerian custom collects bribe. Please, Nigeria is the only country I know. I don't know what obtains. I would have loved to use other countries' example. Is it the same? Yeah. Everybody knows that this Sierra Leonean person does not remit the tax or whatever revenue to the government, has 10 houses in his village. We know how he got the money. And Jesus is eating in his house. Man judges by external. The Lord judges by the heart. But let's see what happened as we close the service this morning. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, the Lord had not preached a sermon to this Zacchaeus. He had not told him about the rugged cross. He had not told him about the blood that flows like a stream. He had not told him about the great dimension of love. He had only demonstrated the gospel by his actions. And Zacchaeus got it. And he said, Lord, look, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore fourfold. Then the Lord said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The love of Jesus constrains us and we repent. The salvation of Jesus will turn you into a new leaf. I'll give my testimony one more time. I know the time I wasn't feeling Jesus, and I know what feeling Jesus made me do in my life. Made me put away certain things that I used to do. Because I was afraid, no. But because there was just a new life within me. And this new life within me compelled me to stop some things that I used to do. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There's a great change since I'm born again. This happened to this man, Zacchaeus. Voluntarily, just knowing Jesus will make you want to walk like him. Knowing Jesus will reveal within you the things that are displeasing to him. And this man was ready to take action. He did not need to be persuaded that this is wrong. This is not wrong. Because the Spirit of the Lord had been dealing with him. And he voluntarily decided to put some of these things away. Since you've gotten born again, has the Spirit of the Lord compelled you to make a change in your life like Zacchaeus? Christianity is not passive. It's very active. There's no such thing as passive Christianity. Let's open ourselves to Jesus Christ. And he will begin to show us the areas of our lives that we have to deal with. When we seek him, we will find him. When we reach out to him, he will reach out to us. And the Lord ended it by saying, are you here and you think you are the least likely person that Jesus will be interested in? He said, you are the exact kind of person that I've come for. He has come to seek and to save. As we minister as Christians, is there one woman, one man, one child that you think, it's with only the grace of God can change this one? Exactly. 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 That's exactly the kind of person that God wants. That only the grace of God can change. Are you meeting homosexuals? And you're saying, it's no use preaching to this one. I don't even know where to start. Only the grace. Those are the kind of projects that Jesus is interested in. The Muhammad Buhari, the Babangida, and the is Buhari and Muhammad too. Yes. Boko Haram. Only that's why we Christians must not curse out these people doing evil. Let's not go anti-Muslim. Christ is not anti-Muslim. His salvation is all-encompassing. The Christ that saved Paul, the terrorist, can save any terrorist. Let's not join them. Let's not join them to start cursing Islam, cursing this, cursing that. Islam is in of itself already cursed, because anything that is not in Christ is accursed. But Muslims are not cursed because Jesus is most interested in them. They look like impossible projects. But let's pray, because he said Christ has come to find and to save. The least likely candidate for salvation amidst the youths of Jerusalem was Paul of Tarsus. He was the head of the terrorists. He was the Boko Haram head. And it was that the Lord touched him. This is the way that our Lord Jesus Christ thinks. He has come. Look at your next door neighbor, the Buddhist. I wonder, I have colleagues, Hindus, Buddhists, and I wonder, where do I start, Lord? I'll be speaking English, they'll be speaking Greek. Their concept of the eternal is so different. No framework to even relate to the gospel. And I go, Lord, I'm tired. And the Lord will minister to me, very good. I really wanted you to be tired. But you cannot stop praying. They can know Jesus. Jesus wants Aishu Krishna at my workplace. The Lord, it's no concept of eternal life. Jesus has come to save those who are lost. The worst of us. You see that person that's a movie star that he thinks is untouchable? Maybe it's even Satan is using it to pollute the culture, this person. Jesus wants the Beyoncés of this world. He wants the Jay-Z's of this world. But who is praying for them? The Lord has not condemned them. The Zacchaeuses of this world. Those dictators. We Christians must continue to hope with Christ in them. Because Christ in them can make all of them climb a sycamore tree. Maybe he's already working in their hearts as we speak. The Bible says, the first shall be, we'll be surprised the people we will meet in heaven on that day. There are many minister holders and prophets that you'll be looking for them on the queue. Ah, where are you? Ah, Shevi, you went to this church in Texas. Ah, where's that your pastor? I just want to say hello. I read his book. Ah, he's not here. What's the name of that one that wears torn clothes? Kanye, are you on the right line? Yes, he's on the right line. That's the way, the first shall be the last shall be the first. Right? Kanye West, you, on this line. man, this salvation is not fair. Who says it is? It's not fair, it's grace. Let's think like the Lord. But for us, let's leave Kanye alone. For us, the lesson this morning, brethren, is please set aside your personal magisteria. Climb a sycamore tree. It is required for you to climb sycamore trees if you are going to grow, if our prayers for growth will be answered. May the Lord let it enter. Let the spirit of Zacchaeus enter into our hearts. And may his face not be far from us. In Jesus' name, let us pray. My Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministration. I thank you for these words that appear so mundane and ordinary. But your word says, Lord, that the seed that the builders or the stone that the builders reject is the head of the corner. You said our faith is like a mustard seed that grows to be the biggest tree in the forest. This ordinary, ceaseless, plaintive preaching that looks like word alone, that the power, Romans 1:6, your power unto salvation for those who would believe, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Thank you for the privilege of rendering your words. Let it not go out in vain. Baba, grant that your word will fall on hearts that will make use of it. Grandfather, for you are no respecter of persons. Let me not sow this seed in vain. Father, I pray, Lord, that they will not look for me and not find me on that line on that day, despite the sermons. Bless us, Lord. No words can move you. You know our hearts. But Lord, this is the desire of our hearts that we express. Touch us with your joy. Your word says Zacchaeus was full of joy when you extended an invitation. Father, I pray, God, that you please extend a special invitation to each one of us here. Our families, our homes, our lives, let it be filled with your joy. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.